Welcome to A Dopamine Kick. Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone, happy Christmas and welcome to episode 104 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are going to be discussing what is going to be our motto for this year, which is half-assed is better than fuck all.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the episode and we'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on whatever platform you are listening on. Reviews do let people know if this is a good podcast to listen to, so we'd really, really appreciate it if you could just give us like 2 minutes just to write down your thoughts and let us know what you think. So thank you very much. And as Shell said, happy Christmas and a happy new year, because I believe by the time you're listening to this, it should be around new year. We didn't get a episode out for Christmas. It's been a few weeks, so there's been a few things going on. I haven't had great health this Christmas, so it's been a few trips to the hospital and back. Nothing serious, hopefully. Waiting on results, you know, if you're from the UK and you're listening. Good old NHS, it's not always the fastest thing in the world, so just have to wait and see. But all in all, for me, it's been a relatively good Christmas. Like Shell said, we discussed it before we came on the podcast. Blink and it's been missed. And I can't believe it's the 28th of December already. So bloody hell, where's the time gone, eh? Where's the time gone?
Yeah, it's flown by, absolutely flown by this year. I feel like Christmas crept up even more quietly than it usually does. I'm always shocked by Christmas. I'm always like, fucking hell, it's like 2 weeks till Christmas. But I feel like this year it was just on speed, like even worse.
Do you know what, though? It was the same for me. We did an episode talking about Christmas. I said to you how I was going to release an old episode for Christmas. I never got around to doing it because literally I blinked and Christmas was here. And I was like, I messaged Shell and I said, hey, Shell, happy Christmas. Hope you have a great day and everything. I'm really sorry that I didn't drop your daughter's presents round. It'll all have to just be done after Christmas. And then I looked at the time and I was like, oh, my God, and the date. And I was like, it's the 28th of December already. Like, it's literally going to be the new year. And I just still haven't got round to dropping presents to you.
There's just so much to squash in, isn't there?
I think that's the problem. I think you're right. I think there's just too many things. It gets overwhelming. And yeah, you've just got to focus on like the immediate things that you need to do, such as last minute wrapping of presents and actually getting to places on time.
Buying presents.
And you, how did the dinner go for 14 people?
Well, it was drastically scaled back. One of my sisters and their family ended up having dinner at home first, and then they came to ours for the afternoon. And my grandma and my dad didn't come because my great aunt died just before Christmas. So it was me, Jamie's mum, my mum, and my youngest sister and her family for the actual dinner. And then my middle sister and her family came over in the afternoon. So it was nice. It was nice. But yeah, a lot less stressful than I thought it was going to be.
Dinner for 14 people is a lot of people and very overwhelming if you have ADHD. Like, I couldn't cook for 14 people.
Yeah, especially when like two of the guests are vegan and one's a celiac.
Oh my God. How does that work?
Oh, stressful. Stressful.
Are you talking about vegan as in you and Jamie vegan, or two extra people are vegan as well?
No, me and Jamie are vegan and then my grandma's a celiac.
That's so funny. Two vegans cooking Christmas dinner.
Hey, we know our vegetables. Now, my mum usually does some sort of like turkey thing and brings a big plate so that the meat eaters can have their meat. I wouldn't even know where to begin with cooking a turkey.
You've cooked turkey before, surely?
Yeah, I'm sure I have done, but getting on for 10 years ago now.
Wow. Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, because I've been vegan, what, 6-7 years?
You're right, actually. You're right. Time, see what I mean about time? Time. It only seemed like yesterday.
Anyway, we keep talking about time flying and we're like 5 minutes in and we've yet to discuss anything about the episode.
Right, let's discuss.
Let's, back on track. So first thing we have to say is huge thank you to Sam, Mrs. ADHD, for the inspiration for this episode. It's not our quote. She mentioned it. She said it on their podcast, on the ADHD Adult podcast, and I loved it. And I told her that I was going to put it in a frame on the wall way back in April. Obviously didn't get around to doing it, but I have now done it. I've made it. I need to print it and I need to get it on the wall, but I've bought a frame. I've made it.
Oh, is this is what you were saying when you said to me earlier before we started recording about, you was like, oh, you know, I'll get round to it because I told Sam. And I was thinking, who's Sam? Who's Sam?
Oh, my life.
I was thinking, obviously someone that I just don't know.
No. Okay, ADHD, all makes sense, Sam. Now. So, yeah, back in April, I said I was going to put this on the wall.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm pleased that I've even done it at all.
True.
So, yeah, by the end of the year, by the end of 2023, it's going to be on my wall. And so we thought we'd do a whole episode on it because it's very fitting, isn't it? Describes us perfectly.
Yeah. And, you know, going with the theme, half-ass is better than fuck all, at least you've printed it now. So, like
I
said...
No, I haven't printed it. That's been my flaw. I've made it. I've made, like, a little... Done it in fancy writing and a bit of graphics. And I've bought a photo frame and I took everything apart, ready to print it, put it in, and the printer's died on me. So I just need to fix the printer and then it'll be done.
And then you are going to post it on our social media as well, aren't you?
I will. I'll put it up. What I'll do is I'll post a picture of it on the wall, but I'll also put the PDF of the actual, the graphics as well. So should anyone want it, they can have it.
In case anyone else wants it
on their wall as well, I've done it for you. Have it.
So the expression half-assed better than fuck all suggests to me, anyway, doing something imperfectly or putting in a little bit of effort so it's better than doing nothing at all. And I think this perfectly sums up ADHD in a little sentence, really, because doing something is always going to be better than doing nothing.
Yeah,
we sometimes think that by doing everything perfectly, and I think anyway, this leads to me being paralysed by not actually starting, because I always think about the steps that is required to do something. So if I need to do a task, I'm thinking about how overwhelming it's going to be. There's so many steps involved and it's easier to put it off because I'm thinking, oh, I've got to do this, this and this. But actually, if I just get started, and I know that's a really difficult thing to hear when you've got ADHD, just get started. I actually get into the swing of things. So one of the things that I wanted to do this year, and I was talking to Adam about yesterday, was that I want to start going to the gym because obviously I need to lose weight. And I know it's not just about going to the gym. It's about eating right and everything. But start small is just going to the gym, because I've had a gym membership ever since 2019. And I looked at my app the other day and I've turned up 4 times. And
no,
I've paid for 4 years.
Oh my gosh.
And Adam pays for the gym as well. And he's done exactly the same.
So basically, every time you go to the gym, it costs you a year's membership.
Yeah. And I mean, how insane is that, really? And the gym is round the corner. It's walkable distance. It's 24 hours. There's no excuse for me not to go to the gym. It's not even like I can say... It's closed. It's open 24 hours a day. So there is time that I could go. So I need to get into this mindset that half-assed is better than fuck all, because if I can just get myself to the gym, even if it means that I don't do anything, I just need to walk through those doors or go to the toilet or something. I just need to show up. So that's all I need to focus on. I just need to show up. And I think once I'm there, I'm more likely to start a workout or go on the treadmill or do something at the gym. So I'm not going to put a time limit on when I'm at the gym, but I just need to be there. So I just need to kind of half-ass it at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I started going to the gym is I was just going once a week for a little swim, and I joined a gym that has like a little steam room and a jacuzzi. And when I didn't feel like going, I'd just say to myself, well, I'll just go and I'll just sit in the jacuzzi for a little bit and it'd be a nice relaxation at least, and then I'll go home. And only one time in the last year have I gone and just done that. Every other time, once I get in there and I'm in the changing rooms, I'm like, no, I get into it. I'm like, oh, no, I'll just do this. I'll just do that. I always get into it. Don't always do like, you know, I'm not always 110% every time. It's definitely been times where I've turned up and been lackluster, but still better to just do it.
At my old gym years ago, there was a quote on the wall that was really inspiring, and it said something like, no matter how slow you're going, you're still doing better than anyone sat on the sofa. And I thought that was quite a good quote because it makes you think, actually, it doesn't matter whether I'm putting in 100% or 10%, I'm still here, I'm still showing up. And I think that's the mindset I need to get back into.
Because the more you show up in a small way, the more likely you are to then build on that and do more and get to the stage where you're doing like 100% some of the time.
And I think it also emphasises the importance of taking initiative and making some form of effort, which encourages you to start something or continue something rather than like giving up entirely or just sat there procrastinating, which is usually a default habit of mine. I will get round to doing that. I will start that on Monday. I'll just do this first and then I'll do that. And obviously, as you know, when you start making those kind of excuses, it means you're never really going to get round to it because you're not committing in any way. And nothing changes, you know. Talk about this again. If nothing changes, then nothing changes, which Shao thinks is an incomplete quote. But it's true. Like, I always say to myself, and I know people that are listening to this will think the same as well, I'll just do this on Monday or I'll just do this then. But when has it ever worked in the past? Let's be honest. Like, when 4 years... Yeah. 4 years I've had this gym membership. When has it ever worked in the past 4 years when I've said, I won't go today, I'll go tomorrow. So I need to make the goal smaller. I need to make the goal to show up. So I think it's perfect. Half-assed is better than fuck all. I think it's a great motto to have in 2024. Gosh, 2024.
I think for me sometimes... It's the overwhelm of getting started. Like I know logically that the one tiny step forward approach is the best way to get things done. But that's not how my mind processes. So I will need like a plan A, B, C, D, E, and F. And like maybe I won't have the right equipment for plan F. So I won't start anything at all because what about if I need it?
Yeah. So
does that make sense?
Give me an example.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask for an example.
I know exactly what you mean. I just think an example would put like the cherry on top.
Okay, so I do have an example. So I used to be really into crocheting.
Yeah.
And I thought I'll try and get back into it. It's quite a good wintry thing to do when you're stuck in the house a lot. And I was in when I last started crocheting, I was in the middle of doing a hippo toy thing. So I got that back out and it's a set. Someone got it me as a set, as a gift. So it comes with like all the wool you need, the hooks that you need. I have my own hooks anyway that are like a bit softer on your hand. Obviously all the pattern, everything. The only thing that I didn't have is, so when you've been crocheting a while, like the wool can get like a bit sticky if you're fingers are a bit sweaty, so if you just rub like some hard soap over the top, then it just lets everything glide through a bit better. You probably don't need to worry about it unless you've been crocheting for like a decent amount of time. If you just sit and crochet for 20 minutes, it's not going to cause an issue. But because I didn't have any soap to hand, I didn't even start because I was like, well, there's no point in starting because I don't have any soap. So if I end up getting really into it and doing it for like an hour, it's going to annoy me because I'm going to need to stop and find the soap. So therefore, I'm not even going to start this. I'll wait until I've found the soap at some point in the future, which I know will never happen, and then I'll start. Does that make sense?
Right. So I know what you mean. So you're being discouraged really by the fear of imperfection. So because it's not perfect, your desire for perfection.
It's not even like I said, it's not even like plan A. Plan A can be perfect. But in my mind I always have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, etc. And it's one of those obscure details that, you know, nothing's ever 100% like ready for you and there when you want to do it, is it? And that's always a good reason for me not to start at all. Or the opposite, I'll impulsively decide to do something, we'll have none of the right equipment and we'll just gung-ho it anyway.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Isn't it funny how there's certain things that need to have like it needs to be perfect, then there needs to be a backup plan, and then another backup plan, and then another backup plan, and then some things are like, just fuck it, like paint walls and not even do any prep.
Just do it.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't make any
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes as well, I will, like, when I'll be really into the swing of things, I will think things like, oh, I should probably have a drink, or I haven't eaten anything for a while, maybe I should take a break. And then I'll deliberately not do those things because I know from past experience that when I stop, it might be weeks or months before I get the motivation to start again.
So basically, we're just talking about really then taking action on things, because inaction leads to basically not getting anything done at all. And that is usually the mode or the default mode that I sit in, which is inaction. And that's why I think when I've done things in the past and I've done them really quickly, like started painting a wall without no prep, start ripping up floorboards because I feel like at that point it needs to be done, it does actually lead to action. Like, it's not perfect, I don't get me wrong, like, but the walls look good, the floor now looks amazing. All that started because of just half-arsing it. Do you know what I mean? If I sat there and thought about, I'm going to have to pull this floor up, it's going to take me this long, I need to buy this floor, nothing would have got done, because I just would have thought about all the blockades in the middle of the road. Like, I'm going to have to do this and this and this. So when I have actually took that moral stance, I call it a moral stance because it is, when I've done that in the past, it's worked out perfectly in the end. Like, the walls look amazing. Like, they're nice, they're grey, they're all done well. They don't look like they've been done with no prep. They look amazing. Like, everyone's commented on how good the floor looks. That was done on last minute. Basically, by overthinking it and thinking about perfectionism and thinking about the backup plans, it just leads to inaction. And inaction doesn't lead to results. And I think this is the problem for me. With, you know, that book, The Secret, you know, The Secret, it always talks about like how you can think things into existence. There's a lot of people that believe in like the law of attraction, like if you think this, then this will happen. But to be honest, like, I did read The Power of The Secret, and I was one of those people that sat there and thought, oh, if I think about $1 million, I'll get $1 million. And if I think this, and I do believe in some form of, like, you know, we talked about this before. When you see things in a more optimistic way, you're more likely to get optimistic or positive experiences because you're more likely to see the positive in things. But I do think the one thing that the law of attraction misses out is the action, which is actually in attraction.
I heard a really good quote about that. I can't remember who said it now. If I can find it, then I'll pop it in the show notes. But it was the law of attraction without action is just distraction.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm basically trying to say, but that just, you know, summed it all up perfectly, really. But it's true, like, without the action side of it, it's never going to happen. You can't just wish £1 million into existence. You just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, it's like the thing I always say, isn't it? Nobody ever starved to death because they didn't want food badly enough.
Exactly, right? So if you want to be a millionaire, right, you might get lucky by winning a scratch card, for example, but you actually have to go to the store and buy the scratch card. You have to take action to buy it. It's not just going to magically appear for no reason. No one is coming knocking at your door.
Poof, on your bedside table.
So there is action to take. And I think that is the moral of the whole thing, really. Even if you half-ass it, you're doing something towards something. So it's better than doing absolutely nothing.
And also as well, if you half-ass something, it's easier to go back and touch something up and make it better than it is to completely start from scratch, which is what happens if you do nothing.
And I also think as well, it's a good step to build on, because your, like, motto or mantra, say, for the year could be half-ass is better than fuck all, for example. But then afterwards, once you get the basics, so if I just show up at the gym, then the next step is going to be me wanting to do stuff at the gym. So then I can change my mantra after that. I just need to get to a point where I'm showing up first. And then afterwards, I can probably change that mantra to, well, you know, maybe I don't need to half-ass it all the time, or, you know, whatever the next step is, sort of thing. But I think it's a good starting point, especially if you've got ADHD, because as you know, as I know, as people listening will know, you can get caught up in the cycle of, I want to do that, but never actually starting it. Do you know what I mean? So,
sorry, I just completely
zoned out.
I just completely dissociated then.
Yeah, I saw you.
I have no idea what you were talking about.
I was basically just talking about how you can use, I can't even remember what I was saying. You can use it as a starting point, right? And then you can always go back to the drawing board and you can change your mantra. But you just need to get, you need somewhere to start. And I think half-assed is better than fuck all. It's always a better place to start, because it's always doing something. It's always better than nothing. And I know I've said that a million times, but, you know, that's me subconsciously trying to tell the people that are listening, do something.
Yeah, get it in.
Yeah, a mantra.
Just start.
Not just start, but, you know, just when you are going to start something, don't think of all the big things and the fluffy things and the things that you got to do and the steps that are involved and how much it overwhelms you. Just think about, showing up is better than doing nothing.
Okay, so I think we have probably rambled on enough. Time for what did you ADHD? Sparky, I think it's your turn.
No, it definitely isn't my turn. It's definitely your turn.
I'm sure it's your
turn. It's not. It's your turn. Do you know how I know it's your turn? Because my one last time was talking about how I totally hyper-focused on my dog's TikTok page. And actually, I completed the whole 25 days, which I'm very, very proud of. I showed up every day, no matter how much effort it took. Some days I actually did half-ass it and didn't do as well. So I did do it, and I know that was me last time, so it's definitely you this time.
Oh, I definitely thought it was you. I recently replaced my laptop. So I had a very old Surface that had stopped being able to download new things because it was so old. So I got a new... got myself a little AirBook, and I keep complaining that I don't have any free time, and I'm really busy, which I am, but I've carved myself time to set this Mac up. So I spent, must have been 4 or 5 hours one evening, like going through, setting all the little personal settings, like making my profile a picture, setting all like the colours to exactly how I like them and the fonts to the size that was like the most comfortable for my eyes. Loads of shit and hours of my time that I really didn't have. I spent doing that.
I just remembered what this is.
Yeah, you know the story already. So I was really happy with it, really pleased. Put it on a shelf in the kitchen. And then didn't have time to look at it.
I love the story. Put it on the shelf in the kitchen.
I just put it on the shelf because I didn't want to put it too far away because, you know, I was going to be using it so much. So I then didn't use it for like 3 days. I think maybe my, I can't remember why now, maybe my daughter was not, was that when my daughter wasn't well? I think it was when my...
Just put it on the shelf in the kitchen because I'm definitely going to be using it. I'm definitely going to be using it. But then 3 days later.
So 3 days later, I pick it up and I was like, right, I'm going to do some social media for the podcast, going to do something productive. It turns on and it's got Touch ID on your finger. So I put my finger on and it was like, oh no, you need to put your password in. Because it's been off for so long, you need to put your password in. I was like, I do not remember setting a password. Okay, so I tried a couple of things, didn't work. So then I noticed that it has a little thing that said hint. So I clicked on that and it said emotional support. And that's when I remembered I did set a password because I keep referring to Portia as my emotional support bulldog. So I remembered that I set a password and it was something to do with her name. Brilliant. Except that's all I could remember, that it was something to do with her name. So I was trying like Portia and then birthdays, Portia spelt funny, Portia pudding, Portia, every Portia with any word I could think of, capitals, not capitals, locked the Mac. Got to the stage, went past like the 5 minute, 15 minute, got to the stage where like you can only log in, like the next time you can try is an hour's time. So then I started Googling.
How do I break Apple security?
Ended up booking an appointment with the technician-y person. And she talked me through like how to do like this, how to recover it. And we got to the final stage and she was like, right, now you just need to put in your recovery ID. And I was like, what's a recovery ID? And she said, well, you must have set one up when you set up the recovery. I was like, I didn't set up the recovery. She said, well, you must have done. The computer doesn't come with it automatically. You have physically set this up and then they'll have provided you with a code. It's normally like I think she said 19-digit code. I was like, this is brand new. How have I set this? I know nothing about computers. How the hell have I set this up? I have literally no idea what you're even talking about. I know no number. I mean, I don't think the woman was lying because I didn't remember that I'd set a password until I was prompted. And there's no way, if I hadn't written it down, there's no way that I was going to remember 19 digits. Anyway, the fucking crux of the matter is there is no way to do it without that recovery ID. So what she had to do is wipe the Mac completely. And so that took, I think it took 3 hours or something to reinstall it. And when it came on, it was like a brand new Mac. So it's like all of the hours and hours that I spent personalizing it was for fucking nothing. Fucking nothing. That is ADHD, forgetfulness. Oh, just absolutely killed me. I wanted to pick it up and smash it on the floor. I was so angry. So angry. And do you know what the worst thing is? I set the password up again. I messaged it to Jamie. And still, because most of the time when I touch it, it wants me to use the Touch ID. But then every now and again, it'll say, no, you need your password for this. And every time it says you need your password, I have to go to Jamie and be like,
What's
the password again? It's on WhatsApp, so I have to search back through our chat until I can find the password. Oh, why can't I just remember this password? It's ridiculous.
This is the reason why no social media's been done.
Yeah, because I can't even get onto the computer. Ridiculous.
I love it. That is such a funny story. Honestly, how do you forget it?
Before I saw the hint when it said emotional support, I would have swore blind. I would have put a lot of money on the fact that I didn't even set a password. I was like, this is ridiculous. It's some auto set. I was trying like 4 zeros and like 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. I had no memory whatsoever.
Do you know what's even funnier? The fact that you got a new Mac and you spent that long personalising it. I mean, who personalises a Mac, sets the font?
I got really into it. Without and I think doing that's any the problem. Work. I think I must have dissociated while I was doing it and just done it all on autopilot, so that like when I woke up from dissociating, hours had passed but I couldn't fucking remember anything that I'd done. Including setting a password and a freaking recovery ID key.
Did it not come up? Because usually it says to you when you're creating a recovery ID key, take a screenshot of this.
I've no memory, and keep it in a safe place. I am very confident that I never set up a recovery ID. I must have done. She said that it doesn't come on the computer, but I've got no memory. I wouldn't even know. So I tried once I'd restarted it, because she said to me, like, you need to make sure you take this number down when you do it next time. So I thought, well, I'll do it this time, pay loads of attention, take the number down. I can't find how you do it. I've no idea how I fucking did it.
So did you set it up again?
Well, a massively scaled back version this time. Like, it did like 10 minutes of quickly what I could remember.
A massively scaled back. Like almost like punishment mode.
Yeah, exactly. So now for the rest of the lifespan of this Mac, every time I turn it on, it's just me like, not as good.
Dead to you. It's dead to you.
It's dead to me.
It's been tainted.
It has. I don't feel excited. Like, I don't feel the same about it anymore. When I first got it, I was so like, oh, it's my prized possession. Loved it. Whereas now I pick it up and I just feel resentment.
That just gets slammed around.
You gaslighted me.
So, more importantly, when you set up this Mac in a completely scaled back version of what you did the last time, did it ask you for a recovery key, or is it giving you
a
recovery key?
No, I don't know how I set it up. I've literally no idea how I did it.
So you can never recover this Mac. So basically anything you do on this Mac, anything you save on this Mac, any settings you change.
So this one, I'm not setting a recovery key. So that should mean that it could be broken into. So the recovery thing is like super secure. So when you set that up, there is no way to recover the information unless you've got that ID. So I'm just not setting that up.
That's ridiculous. Why would you
not? I don't
not?
Have anything that's that like sensitive on my... I don't have anything. Like, if someone's going to break into my house and steal the Mac, like, you know, they could easily
True.
Just...
I've never heard of a recovery key
before. They could easily just, like, take all the letters that are on the side if they wanted, you know, my account numbers and sort codes, you know? They wouldn't have to bother breaking into the Mac. If they've got into the house, that's it, I'm done.
Done. Well, on that note, I think we'll end it there this week. We hope you have a great new year, whatever yeah. you're doing, and let's hope that together all of us this year can use half-assed is better than fuck all and actually get some shit done this year.
Yeah,
and we'll see you next
next year probably for another episode. I
forgot what I was gonna say.
Oh, sorry. Cut you off.
I can't remember. Anyway, we'll see you next year, guys. Thanks very Bye. Much for listening. All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.